Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode.
Hello and welcome to the Premier Podcast, episode number 105. It's a bumper edition today after a cracking game up in Thurles. Tipperary and Limerick played out an exhilarating draw, 1 point apiece, puts Tipperary on the edge of qualification for a Munster final, puts Limerick in a much trickier position with a much win game versus Cork this coming weekend. We've got a packed panel and a lot to discuss, be it from Rhys Shelley's debut clean sheet to more Noel McGrath magic, Brian O'Mara making his mark in midfield or in centre back, and our own yellow helmets of Ciarán Mara showing up to make an impact on the biggest day in championship. Right, lads, Stephen, I'll go to you first. What a cracking game to witness up in Semple this Sunday. Pleasure to be at, pleasure to see the square, you know, absolutely crowds. I think everyone enjoyed it. Tip led, you know, almost from pillar to post. Could be said that we were very unlucky not to get the win, but at the end of the day, we needed a free then to level the game. Your thoughts on this absolute cracker?
Yeah, it is a great day all round. Weirdly, waking up Sunday morning, have that nervous confidence. You know, you feel like something's going to happen, but you just don't want to let it out because, you know, ultimately you don't want to be disappointed. Like, but the air of confidence around Thurles on Sunday, I thought it was electric even before anyone got into the stadium. And just coming in by the golf club there, the traffic started building and it just started feeling really championship, you know. And getting into the stadium and hurling, and then when they came out, the touch of the, I see them all sitting down with the bibs taking the pictures, and I said, what are they doing? Then it dawned on me what the bibs were and the sponsorship on it for the Dylan Quirk Foundation, which I thought was an excellent touch. And the fare of hurling served up to the Tipperary public, to the GAA public, was, I thought it was unreal. And before we talk about the skills of the game and the scores on show, and you know, that what we ask for, the fundament, that the bare bones of what we ask for is heart, desire, determination, all these things forefront, absolutely everywhere in the stadium, supporters and players. And it was a great, like, I was wrecked coming home from the match. It was just a brilliant match and a brilliant performance from Tipperary. It's going to be the last I say on it when we compare it to what we went through last year. It'll be the last I touch on it now because I think we're finished with last year. But Tipperary team are back, and Sunday showed the whole country we're back. Some brilliant performances, some real big leaders on the day. We had our usual, but also lads that went out, did the job, the tankless stuff. You know, Dan McCormack doing a job on. I was fascinated. They were marking each other in front of me, and it's hard to take your eyes off what Dan McCormack was doing to him. You know, like just annoying the crap out of him, being everywhere he was going in his pocket. You know, it was just a brilliant detailed job and executed brilliantly. And then you had Noel McGrath's usual magic. Like, we could talk about Noel McGrath all day, but one person I looked at closely was Jake Morris, because I don't think Jake set the world alight against Limerick the last couple of years because of their physicality. You would not, the Jake Morris of last year and the Jake Morris of this year, chalk and cheese, and that extra sprint and condition, an extra year under his belt, has done him the world of good. And I think, Sunday was a real throwback to when we were at our best, you know, and it gives the whole county confidence going forward.
Absolutely. And Colin, like, you know, it's our old friends down in Waterford, you know, we still have a job to do next Sunday to secure qualification and hopefully a bit more Munster final, or definitely a bit more with a win. I suppose you mentioned on this podcast maybe a bit of frustration about losing leads late on this year. Maybe something creeping in there. And how would you have read? Would you be as optimistic as Stephen going forward, or still little niggling bit there about kind of having lost the lead late on again?
Well, look, Kevin, I suppose coming out of the Cork game, I'm sort of disappointed that we didn't win. Coming out of the Limerick game last Sunday, I was much more satisfied, even though we didn't win. So, kind of contrasting emotions, the Cork game, I thought we should have won, and it was a point left behind. I had this feeling after the Limerick game that was probably a point won. I mean, if you're a point down in injury time to the All-Ireland champions, you're taking a draw all day, every day. And look, if we'd been offered a draw before the game, I think realistically we could have taken it, because, you know, it's easy to be wise after the event. And, you know, I share a lot of what Stephen has said. And, you know, I woke up on Sunday morning with that sort of nervous anticipation as well. But, you know, I'm not going to come on and say, contradict what I said, you know, to people that I met on Sunday morning, that I thought, gun to my head, I thought Limerick were going to win. That's been honest with you. And I think, you know, there was a fear there that, and that fear almost became a reality at the start of the second half when Limerick came out and rattled off 4 points one after another. Like, and you are kind of looking at each other. But, you know, to be fair to the boys, like, we look a lot fitter, more organised, more together. We're much more tactically aware, better prepared, hard work. And I mean, I'm sure Sean will talk about the stats in a few minutes, but I've never seen a Tip team put in as many hooks, blocks, tackles. I mean, it was incredible. And, you know, I said on Premier View maybe on Sunday night that sort of one of these people who'd kind of fallen out of love with inter-county hurling the last couple of years to an extent. But Jesus, Sunday, like, you couldn't help but being very proud of the team and the supporters, and the whole occasion was just brilliant. So, you know, to answer your question, yeah, I was happier after the Limerick game than after the Cork game. I certainly think next Sunday is not a foregone conclusion. I'm sure we'll talk about it a little more in depth later on. But, you know, I saw someplace that Tipper 10-1 on or something in the bookies. I think that's absolutely bananas stuff. Like, I just don't see that myself. Just maybe to mention a couple of the players, Kevin, before the boys jump in, particularly like Barrett, super. I thought Ronan Maher was excellent. Brian O'Mara probably he definitely had the best game I've seen him play for Tip. He seemed to be on the ball an awful lot as well. Very cool, calm, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Stephen touched upon Noel, absolutely brilliant. Jake, brilliant in the first half, got 5 points. Bonner. The turning point of the game actually for me was in the second half. I don't know if you remember it, lads. Limerick had scored those 4 points, and one of the Limerick boys was coming away with the ball, and Bonner got in a tackle, and not only did he get in the tackle, but he also won the ball, if you know what I mean. The ball flicked up into him. He got fouled. We scored the free. Game's back level, and we went on and got the next point then after that. So, you know, to me, that was a really, really big moment in the game. One thing just to finish on, I would say, I know Kevin's always trying to draw me out on my inner negativity. My inner negativity, for what it's worth, is obviously the concerns around Cathal Barrett and whether Cathal will be able to start the next day. There's also, you know, rumours about Jake Morris and Jake Morris's fitness. You take Jason Ford out of that as well. like, to me, they're three of the most important players we have, along with Noel, obviously. But, you know, those three are three lads that I would not like to see missing. Just finally, then, and I'll shut up after this, just to mention Reece Shelley as well, and Young Connolly from Cashel. Like, again, Sean will go into this, I'm sure, in a second, but we seem to get murdered on our puck outs when they were going long. Okay, so there was a bit of jeopardy in some of the puck outs that Reece was taking, the shorter ones. And a few times I was, you know, I just wanted to hide behind somebody, like, not to watch short ones going out, because, you know, there were a lot of times they looked, you know, they either just made it or else they just missed, you know, and there was a bit of, there was a lot of jeopardy there. But to be fair to him, he landed a long range free, looked confident, calm, collected inside the goal. And Owen Connolly as well. I mean, I've asked you separately during the week, how did you think Owen Connolly played? But I think the fact that he was solid and not very spectacular, but he was solid. And for two young guys, and it's only when you take their helmets off and you see how young these boys are, you know, you have nothing but admiration for them. So, yeah, I'm positive, Kevin, but I wouldn't be as certain about next Sunday, maybe as some of our mid and northern friends will be in a second now.
Oh, I think that's just a phony war coming out, I think, but I suppose we get to that Waterford game. It is quite a quick turnaround after what was a war of attrition, I suppose, last Sunday. And you alluded to, Sean, it was a very interesting game to read through the stats. I think you put up, I think Tipperary had 34 scoring chances and I think got 25 out of that. So that's one that stuck out with me. Seems like a good efficiency there, but also like the work rate, was that really shown through the stats? And maybe even Limerick also being a bit off colour?
Yeah, like, look, I suppose I was listening to another podcast here yesterday morning. They were giving out about
cheating. You know, there were
folks on, you know, folks' blocks and tackles and stuff like that. And can I say it there before, like, it's kind of not a measure of how hard you actually work, really. Like if you even look at the Heineken Cup or the Heineken Cup final there on Saturday, like Leinster made 183 tackles, La Rochelle made 73. But Leinster aren't the Heineken Cup champions.
Could you expand on that a bit, Sean? Because I think it's a very interesting point. Is that, well, basically, if you have the ball, you're making less challenges?
Yeah, and the issue before was, I think we were working really hard as we would have worked even on Sunday. But our structure is a lot better. We know what we're doing off the ball, even when we lose the ball. So we're able to get bodies there where we need to. Whereas before, we're probably only getting used to how Limerick play, especially how Limerick play. And you just don't have the bodies there where you need to have them at times. So you're not able to make those tackles. And then the other side of it as well is, and you've kind of said it, Colm said it already, like, our long puck out wasn't firing. So, like, you have to put in huge effort to win the ball back straight off your own puck, long puck out at times. But what I couldn't get over was we just had it in our legs to stay going and stay going. And that's why we've gone to zero after 50, 55 minutes. I remember being 2019 Munster final. I remember being standing beside Eamon O'Shea after 55 minutes and saying, geez, the boys are going to zero because we lost 20 of 29 long puckouts. So you're putting yourself under serious pressure. But, like, just even there's one small thing. It was bad Tipperary play, but it showed how good things are at the moment. In the first half, I think it was Connolly got a ball and hit it straight down to Barry Nash. Jake was coming in behind like a train to chase Barry Nash. And he actually had his hand out pointing to Bonner. Bonner was getting attracted to Barry Nash and he was going to leave Kyle Hayes. And he just kept pointing as he was running as fast as he could to Bonner, as in, stay with Kyle Hayes. I'm going to make up this ground and get to Barry Nash. And Carl O'Neill still got a pint off it, but straight away you're saying there, lads, these lads have thought about all this. And it's not just in the moment stuff. It's they're thinking about these things. And maybe that's what I have been doing in the last while against teams like Limerick. But no, like, the work rate was phenomenal. And I think physically we matched up, I think, to Limerick. You'd all probably agree that, I'd say.
And again, I think you're right. I think the structure looks a lot better this year. That there's a lot of thought gone in. Kyle Hayes being a good point. It just looks like that they were going to commit bodies to him to stop him getting a gallop on.
Yeah.
And space, for another point, matching up on Flanagan correctly. be another one.
And I did think the sharp hookouts went out really quick. Like, and it's actually, Gas, you were saying about, Colin was saying about falling out of love with the game of hurling. Myself and Dunamara went to the game, and you're driving over and you're stuck in traffic there around Bursley. And we just start talking about like how the modern game is like, and two-man full forward lines and sweepers and loads of sharp puckouts. And, you know, but like we're saying, like, we were in the stand the other day, there was no one giving out saying, drive the ball along to Shelley, like, you know, they weren't giving out about the sharp puckouts, or there was no one giving out after saying tipper negative, playing a sweeper. Like, you can just show us that you can play the modern game and be ultra positive and give it everything. Like, so, like, I just thought, like, some of the sharp puckouts were excellent in terms of, we got the ball out, we got to Ronan. You want to get Ronan on the ball around the D because he's able to get it over the half back line and into space. And maybe that's something we just need to work on, because if you stay doing that, teams will start dropping deep and now pockets of space appear in front of your half forwards or for your midfielders. But even the small things, like, it was a puckout we got a score off in the first half where it went out short to Ronan and he went long up the middle. And usually before, our midfielders would be going down looking short for the puck. Conor Stakelin was on the Limerick 65. And the very minute the ball was hit by Ronan, he was in there. He got a flick onto the break. Mark Hill got a ball and put it over the bear. So it just shows you there is a bit of clarity there. So if but Ronan gets a sharp puck out, the midfielders aren't bolting back towards him and looking for a ball. They're going to where the ball is actually going to go to. And again, in the past, we mightn't have had that clarity, like, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose Sean as well, Sean's bit, it takes two to tango. And we have to kind of talk with Limerick as well. Maybe some of their go-to guys, notably Keane Lynch and Garrod Hegarty, you know, both subbed off early enough in the second half. Are they showing, well, they're definitely showing signs that they're vulnerable this year. But, you know, how do you think they can rebound off this now going into next Sunday? What are your thoughts on, I suppose, them in particular?
Like, Garrod Hegarty, the matchup with Dan McCormick there was great calling. You know, like, we saw the team, we said ourselves that Zane to Mark Mayne where players were played, and that's how it worked. Like,
all that talk about Hegarty during the week on the panel up the golf course and all that, like, you know, geez, you're fearing the worst kind of thing that he could explode into the game, but probably had the one true goal chance of this game, didn't he? And it's just, he scoffed it.
Oh, yeah, but like, he panicked. He was in between minds. It was only a half arse hit. Like, it was only real chance. Barrett, Jake Morris's Bonner's hand pass to Jay is true. Like, that was the goal. Like, well, hit targets ago, but that was scandalous. Like, but do we say there, like, we got markup, like, even Jake Morris there at times was hassling Burns there. Burns, like, you know, like a forward mark in the back there, and that's something, because he knew Burns was going to drive on. And Sean said there, Jake was alert to this, and players were alert to stop the overlap, stop the runners off the shoulders, and just get to your man and make it hard on him. And like, and they said, caught Barrett in the back, then, you know, and Glenn Lynch were nice out of the walls as well, like, you know, so. Like, Cal got spot on, apart from winning the game, you'd say. We probably could have been up more at halftime, I thought, maybe. Went in 3-0. Kind of, was there one or two more points in as Limerick may have got a few soft scores from balls and went astray there. But, like, you mentioned Reece Shelley there, like, Shatton's lad said he'd never experienced something like that in his life. Like, the noise, the atmosphere, the crowd. Like, you know, I saw, like, he's earned from this, and he's clever in the second half, started hitting the ball short and going back for a turn ball, whereas working through lines. And even you said there, Sean, as well, forward behind me, they weren't actually saying hit it long, like, they're actually impressed with working the ball through the lines, like, you know, because they're starting to see that you can't do this against Limerick, you can't hit balls down top of Hannon. And at times we've done that, Hannon came out there. Did Hannon get 2 points, did he, or did he get one? He got one whopper on it, you know, he cleared the ball and the Limerick roared in, like, you know, so that's how you stop. They're the ones that get the crowd going, like, so, like, we go onwards from that, but, like, as in, the injuries could be a worry if Barrett missed next day, if Jake Morris has gone on forward, like, you know, but lads are stepping up, like, and that, I mean, this dark elastic gave it all, like, there's lads gone off and they're wounded. Like, people saying Tynan didn't get on ball, didn't score, but by God, he worked. He was just there, working, running, like, if you can watch what he's doing, like, he had a job to do. He wasn't given the freedom of expression like he had blown Cork, so, like, he can do multiple tasks if you want, like it's tiny.
Yeah, I thought he really pinned him back as well as what he did do. there's like, yeah, right, with the injuries, we had a wicked run last year. With injuries, probably definitely didn't help matters. Like the hours, you said, that's a quick 7-day turnaround. Looking to it, like the likes of Shamey came on, you know, with first as a blood sub briefly, and then kind of into the second half. Is he a lad now that could be starting, Stephen, maybe on Sunday? Do you throw a curveball in again? Do you, you know, we'd love to see Bonner probably starting again.
Yeah, you could. And look, even to take away the nostalgia of it, and you know, you wouldn't be disappointed if Shamey Callanan started next week, you know. And like, I'm not going to disrespect the man and say, oh, he'd only be starting because of his name. He didn't get on much ball. I don't think he got on any ball bar the point he scored, you know, but that point he scored, he was falling. I think I'd say he was nearly on his knees at the time he got the strike away. You know, like, Shamey's presence alone at the edge of the square will cause huge concern for the Waterford full back line. If he gets the run next week, if Jake Morris's shoulder is hurt, like it looked, why would you bother playing him next week when Shamey Callanan is, you know, he's there chomping at the bit for a game? So I think you could see him play next week, and you'd probably see John McGrath playing next week, because I think as great as, you know, Jake Morris is playing this week, or this season, grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck, and Marky Ho as well has had two excellent games now. But you're still going to need John McGrath, Shamey Callanan. You're going to need these fellas, and Bonamar again. You're going to need these fellas if we want to make a serious run in the rest of this championship. And I'd be like Colm, a little bit nervous next week, literally because of where I'm from. The last thing you want to do is give them any bragging rights of no matter what, even if the, Jesus, God forbid, they were to beat us, but we were still somehow sneak through, they'd still have bragging rights. You know, you still have to listen to them.
I think we're through with a Limerick win anyway, if I had my maths right.
Bar two freak results, we're through, which you can't see at Northern Tip qualifying. But I think these lads, they're more than, like, I'm talking about them like they're only young fellas. Like, these are seasoned players. They're all Ireland winners. So I think I could see Cal starting Seamus Cannon and John McGrath, because I think they have huge parts to play going ahead, going forward this year.
Just mention there as well on, like, they're one of the players, when he's like, Conor Wall, come on, Jesus, 3 points.
Brilliant.
He was just composed. He was like, I'll be free now in 2 seconds. And just made room on middle field and got the ball and looked up. He had time and just slotted over. Like, it was perfect. You know,
that's the lad that was brought on and taken off in the game before.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Bonner, who was also thought excellent, that was it. But I don't think he got a minute in the previous two games, you know, kind of sprung out of nowhere. So it's like, the training must be to a very good standard, because lads are able to kind of seamlessly come in and get to the pitch.
Imagine if Conor Bow hit the first attempt wide from, say, 70 yards out, like, why the fuck's in? And second ball again, like, you know, negativity would be straight on him again, like, but he's slotting over there, and like, that's going to do everything for his confidence, like.
But does it show what they're doing in training? That's obviously the physical side of stuff, but the mental side of stuff too. Like he could have been wallowing in self-pity there, lack of confidence in the Cork game, because no matter what you do on a hurling field, if you're brought on as a sub and taken back off, it hurts. Like, you know, it's a knock to the confidence. He came in, like, Liam Cahill then didn't hold it against him. They got back to the training ground. They trained away, and he saw him as a, I'm bringing this man in because I know he can make an impact. In went Conor Bow and was brilliant, you know. And again, he's the man now that's putting his hand up for next week. You know, that's what we want. We want all these lads coming in, making the manager's job as hard as possible in the positive sense. We don't want an easy job where a lad is not pulling his weight, so he's not on the team. We want this as hard as possible. And, you know, what John showed there, I know he was only on the field for a couple of minutes, like, the character and the guts that he showed to stand over that free, you know, still cold, probably not even warmed up properly, you know, to slot it over the bar like he was there taking frees all his life. You know, it's, it, the, well, not only are we up to the pitch with the the fitness and the physical demands of the Intercounty hurling and the level that we want to be at. But mentally, all these boys look in top class condition. And that's, you know, it's brilliant to see, because, you know, the mental side of this game is huge too.
But there seems to be a huge trust there between players. Like, you don't get that kind of cohesiveness even working like at the backs. You know, if someone turns around and you know, just bolts back, trying to help their full back line. If you're a wing back, if you're Dan McCormick, whoever, like, there's no kind of looking over my shoulder going, just who's going to pick up my man? They just know that someone is going to show up for him. Like, and that's why you mightn't be as worried if a couple of lads do fall for injury, because, you know, when you're winning a few games or going well, you know, everyone buys into that. Do you know that sort of it?
I suppose before we move on, we better mention Noel McGrath, the captain. Led by example, you know, so great, almost trademark reverse pass, you know, to the very end, I suppose, like right in the middle of the melee or the handbags at the end. Kind of, I think there's a real, shows that he's at the forefront of a real togetherness in this team. It's just, you know, like, the man is a Tipperary legend in my mind, right at the very front of the best we've ever produced. But it's just great to actually be able to go to see him still.
He scored in the 43rd minute. Remember the score he got in the second half? I thought that just showed where Tipperary are. Like, Limerick won the puck out, pressure was applied. Remember Reece Shelley took it from underneath the crossbar, kind of flicked it out in front of him. Tip worked the ball across the middle, you know, in where there was traffic, got it over all the traffic then into Mark Keogh, across the field to Noel on his own and over the bar. Like, that just shows you where we are. Let's, we're really moving on like that. Before, we'd be expecting our goalie to go from the 14-yard line straight into, you know, that sort of way, and teams can read it. Like,
a sideline as well, you know, just,
yeah,
like, so difficult to do, and he almost expected kind of just when he walks over. And again, it's just a very important score for lifting the crowd, which are great. Again, you know, there's a bit of talk, Tip being outnumbered and all that kind of stuff by Limerick, but again, like, you know, Tipperary really turned up numbers, like in Semple. Both terraces kind of almost packed as well, stands packed out.
Yeah.
I think Noel had 13 possessions, I read someplace on Sunday. And I mean, like, every one of them, like, none of them wasted. Like, he's just a, you know, he's, like, you don't want to be using soccer analogies, but I mean, I think we all agree that Messi is the greatest player, certainly of our generation. But Noel McGrath reminds me of Messi in so many ways. Like, he's just unflappable out on the field. He's a real leader. You know, he's vocal on the field this year. As you said, Kevin, he was involved in the bit of jostling at the end of the game. You know, and he leads by example as well. I mean, I don't think any player on the panel wouldn't be inspired by having Noel McGrath beside him on the field. And I think that's really important. And one thing I heard mentioned on the Sunday game on Sunday night during the commentary was that he only has two All-Stars. I was a bit surprised at that, actually. I would have figured that he'd have more than two All-Stars. But like you said, I think God help us today, he does hang up the boots, but he will go down as an absolute Tipperary legend. And to have two of his brothers on the panel and sometimes some days on the team as well, I mean, that's, for the McGrath family, that's incredible. Like, you know, I don't think it's appreciated enough, but I mean, you couldn't but have admiration for those guys. And as you said, for John to step up and hit that last free over the bar, and from what I understand, Cal, they were looking over at the sideline to see who was to take the free, because if you remember, Garrod O'Connor was gone off, Noel was gone off, and Liam Cahill was pointing at John McGrath to take it, you know. So Liam Cahill had no hesitation in saying John McGrath is the man to hit this free. It doesn't matter what happened down in Cork 2 weeks ago and the late free. He backed John McGrath, backed McGrath that they put it over the bar. So, you know, delighted for John that he got the opportunity to, don't want to say redeem himself from the previous, because he doesn't owe us anything like that, but it was, there was a certain sort of justice, I suppose, that John was the one to hit the leveller.
Speaking of Cork there, lads, I was in Noel Ryan's. I got my timings wrong for the football, so I missed it, unfortunately. But given the result, the Limerick cheer when Clare got over the line in Noel Ryan's in against Cork and just hung on was a sight to behold. The relief there was something else, you know, which is, look, the rivalry there is massive. But what that does now means basically like a de facto elimination round in Munster this weekend, with a must-win game for Cork, and Limerick can draw it, I think, and go through. But That's going to be a cracker. It's a pity maybe Sean is not in the Páirc Uí, going to really level it up. Would you give Cork any chance here?
Suppose you would give them a chance in a way of, like, they have forwards to do damage, and that forward line has troubled Limerick's back line, you know, over the last couple of years. What you'd be worried about, though, is you probably would be worried about Cork from 1-7. And what I have noticed about Limerick this year, right, is a lot of teams are playing a lot more sharp hookouts, and it's kind of hurting Limerick in a small way, because, you know, when you go along against Limerick, they are well able to manage it. Whereas now, the ball going out short has been varied, and, you know, teams aren't trying to run out then like heroes either. It's not Braveheart stuff. They're playing the ball around, they're getting bodies into different places, they're just going straight direct into the full forward line. So, like, for Limerick, I'd say they go full court press the weekend now, push up on the Cork poke out, apply the pressure, and then the force Cork to go along, because I think Cork went long on, I think they went wrong on 19 poke out, long poke outs against Clare, and I think they only won, I think they only, like, I think, what was it again? Cork went long, jeez, what was it again? 19, yeah, and they lost 11. Do you know? So that shows you, again, we're talking about tip before, you go empty very quick when that happens. So, and you can't go empty against Limerick, because that's when they start walking through you, like, you know.
Bit of breaking news there. So just as we, Tipperary GAA just tweeting there, just go back to Tipperary GAA can confirm the notification of a proposed 4-week suspension plus a 1-match ban for senior hurling manager Liam Cahill was received from the CCCC today. Tipperary GAA and Liam Cahill are now considering options and will make a decision within the time frame allowed. That's something I suppose we should have covered there. Liam Cahill red card. Going to have big ramifications, I suppose, going forward.
They'll appeal that, like, because if Taste the Van, suppose he can't even do the team for the next 4 weeks, which, like, just lock the gates and frame, like, it's, I don't know, like, these rules. That's a new rule brought in as well. The whole team not allowed with the team, isn't it? That's a recent thing, as I'm aware, is it?
I heard it being discussed earlier on tonight, Sean, on the radio, and the implication was that the ban was not just a match day ban. It was, you know, a preparation of the team. But, I mean, like, there's a whole lot of stuff about this. I mean, first of all, okay, you know, whatever, we don't know what Cahill said to James Owens. Okay, now we know that the two of them have a little bit of history going back to the years from different games. So that's the first point. The second point is James Owens got the bloody decision wrong. I mean, I was 50 yards away from where it happened and I could see that it was wrong. You know, the game is in the melting pot. I mean, like, you know, I'm not, like, obviously, look, and this isn't paying lip service. We need respect for linesmen and we need respect for referees. But I mean, in the 74th minute of a Munster Championship game, if Liam Cahill isn't going to dispute a sideline that's clearly wrong, I mean, we're trying to take all emotion out of the game. Third point I'd make about this is, I mean, why has this become an issue this week? Like, Brian Lowen has no problem abusing referees and abusing linesmen. I mean, Davy Fitzgerald, I mean, it's an absolute joke what he's getting a career out of it. He's made a career out of it. John Kiely is no angel, okay? I'm not suggesting that Cahill is, you know, is an angel either. And I'm sure there was words last Sunday. But I mean, I just find it amazing that
Barry Kelly down the ears.
Yeah, but you know, why is it the Tipperary manager all of a sudden that's been picked out and been given it? So, you know, I hope we appeal it. And I mean, Tip always seem to be the ones who end up sort of carrying the can for these kind of new rules that GA bring in. If you remember a few years ago as well, when Davy Fitzgerald ran onto the field and interfered with one of our players and Jason Ford stepped in, Jason Ford ended up getting banned. No, these sort of ridiculous, you know, arbitrary things that they come up with. And we always seem to be the ones that feel the end, that seem to be on the end of it. Like, I think James Owens should be the one getting a one match or a 4-week suspension for bloody bad decision making last Sunday.
As well, I think, you know, if it was a one game ban, you might just say, look, Waterford, kind of, it's coming quick. There's no real break in momentum and all that. You might just accept it, move on, hopefully get the win. I know it's still a banana skin. But like a month in peak championship season, potentially Munster final, potentially All-Ireland quarter-final as well. And the appeal when the ban would start, or I mean, there's a lot to consider there, really, like, isn't there? It seems really overkill, and I think there's a lot of surprise with it.
I'm reading here, Kevin. It says, Cal will not be allowed to train or communicate in any way with a team or management prior to this Sunday's Munster St. Ireland Championship Round 5 game against Waterford, or raise a potential fine against player on 11th of June. In other words, he's not allowed to talk to any player manager.
What if he runs into him, like, one of, you know, like, at
what? How are you police that?
At the end of the day.
There's loads of rules in the GAA that you can't police, but I could be wrong on this, but I think when a player gets red carded and he's serving a suspension, I'm fairly sure, maybe back in the old rules, that he couldn't even train with his team until the suspension's up. Something to do with insurance and things like that, but a suspension is from all club activities. Now, that's probably what they're looking at, and because now... It's been the worded, I think that's how the suspensions were supposed to work anyway. But now, as it's tip, back to what Colm said, they'll drop the hammer on. Like, you know, as I said, the linesman got the decision wrong. And in the white hot heat of Munster Championship, that late in the game, Jesus, like, you'd want to be the greatest of saints to be able to bite your tongue and stay relaxed. Now, again, we don't know what he says. Hopefully it wasn't too bad, you know, that they go down the road of appealing it if they're looking for the full month and no contact.
What did Tommy Dunn get last year?
I was just going to say the same thing, Kevin. Like, I mean, the last person I can remember getting any sort, kind of a ban was coincidentally a tip man again, Tommy Dunn. So are we to take it... Yeah. Against Waterford. So are we to take it that no referee... has been abused since Tommy Dunn abused somebody last year. Like, yeah, it's a nonsense. Exactly. It's an absolute freaking nonsense is what it is.
To the field catching a ball, you know, and any take the free or whatever it was.
It's gone crazy now, lads. Like, even think of Waterford carriers not being allowed to be hooked up to to the sideline, to Liam Cahill. So, like, what you have, like, is you're going around trying to get tickets for lads that can sit in front of the dock and sit in front of the sideline, who are literally just talking to the management in the sideline, and then going down to the side of the pitch to talk to the water carrier, who can then go into the players, like. And then they're getting yellow cards because they're going in past in mischief. And yellow card is nothing really, like, so... And then you look at the other side of it, like Liam Cahill probably didn't say it in bed or personal to James Owens. And at the end of the day, lads, if you can't show emotion, you can't fight for your team, you know, everyone makes a mistake, fine. Liam Cahill is probably giving his whole life to that job, like every other county manager. They're missing time with their children, time with their wife, everything. And to be turned around then and be told because you contested a line ball that you cannot go near the team for a month.
Yeah. Just, like, look, and I was to go for James Owens. It was a bad decision to get wrong. And look, James Owens is also spending time away from his family and giving up his time.
Yeah, I know.
And look, we are in an era. We see the kind of videos going viral of refs getting abused and all the rest of it and assault. And like, we are trying to kind of promote refereeing because without them, we don't have a game. But like,
why?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Pick the tip man.
Move on.
No, why are we picking? Why is the tip man being picked here, though? That's all I'm asking. Like, why is, like, I go back to what I've asked already. Is, so do I take it that James Owens is the first officials have been abused since Tommy Dunn abused someone below Welsh Park last year. Because I've been to several matches where I've seen opposition managers abusing referees in inter-county this year. It's a nonsense, is what it is. I just think, again, it's picking out the Tipperary management and having a go at them. Will we see Davy Fitzgerald being sanctioned, Brian Lowen being sanctioned? No, we haven't. It's a nonsense. And I hope the Tipperary County Board fight this head on.
Yeah, Lowen in particular is an absolute joke. Davy is well known for it, but Lowen just seems to get away with a whole pile. And Clare, you know, it's a different kind of topic, but you know, they're diving again the weekend and stuff, not being pulled up on it. It's something you don't want to see. But anyway, that's back to next week. Clare had their feet up in a Munster final. Sean, I was just on you, so you'd give Cork probably a puncher's chance. Limerick need to win ourselves.
Yeah.
Bit of going on in Leinster as well, lads, I suppose, with that historic win for Westmead. Sean, you're nodding the head there. 16 or 17 points down, I think it was at one stage. And Jesus.
17 points, Wexford. And looking across here, not actually at Wexford. Across the valley there, and it's all bad timberness under the can hurl. It's all our land, not much there. So
they're probably heading for the McDonough. I think Antrim will beat Westmeath.
Yeah, that's listen to off the wall now last night. Lad saying it's more likely Kenny will beat Wexford, you know, and Antrim more likely beat Westmeath. That's kind of but how would you be 17 up and lose by two? Like it's a 19 point swing. I just can't fathom it. Like. In any level, like, to be honest, like, it must have been 10 open games and lost, or 11, 12, yeah. 17. Like, last year, Westmead did draw them, so Wexford knew they couldn't just walk into it and win. So, grand, they're up well, hold the heads. But, like, that's a new law for Wexford. Like, we mentioned a few times in the pod here, didn't we, like, saying, did they peak? You know, it should have been 19. Are their heads just gone from it? You know, like, they're relying on, they've only one or two players. There's a problem there. So many of them actually start for tip, like, no, one or two, maybe, no. That's
what it is. Like, Stephen, did you mention, you know, after that incident down in Carrick, the challenge match, that the Wexford lad, that they did seem very together, the way they like backed up their own men and all that? There probably wasn't a sign of things to come.
Yeah, like, in fairness, just they were like just before the discussed and verbal. I don't know how to phrase it, but there was a little bit of schmozzle there, and they had each other's back. Like, you know, that's where it all stemmed from. There was a schmozzle there. They had each other's back, and they looked together. But I suppose maybe the warning signs were there at the day, because I remember a lad, I said on the pod there one day, there was the lads standing beside me watching the match, and Tip were playing with the wind in the first half. They had real good lead. You could see what Wexford were trying to do, but they were against the wind. And one of the lads beside me said, Wexford will implement their game plan way better in the second half than Tip will. And Tip came out in the second half and hammered the shit out of Wexford. They fell asunder. So, you know, in challenge matches, you kind of say, well, if it was a challenge match, they're missing a few lads, they're working on things. But maybe it's a sign of things to come. And to lose a 17-point lead, if they lost it against Kilkenny, let's say, you'd say, look, that a team like Kilkenny can do that to you. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but Westmeath should not be pulling back a 17-point lead on Wexford.
That was half-time, was it? It was 16
and a half-time.
You know, like, that's the sign of, the sure sign of a broken team. Now, they're either not playing for their manager, or, let's be blunt about it, the manager, what they're doing down there, or it might have something to do with their new system they implemented there last year, the year before. You know, they have a split season down there as well, and Waterford have a bit of an
out split season, yeah.
You know, so are these playing havoc with their county team? You know, like, I don't know how many games they're getting in Wexford, but I know in Waterford did groups of three, so you're getting two championship games, and you know, if you're not qualifying, that's it. Like, you know,
like, I know, take the, you know, not playing for the manager. And I know, Sean, you're kind of at the doing a few stats for him as well, or at the Galway game. But like, they were 17 points up at one stage, so like, the manager can't go on and hurt them, like, or that, you know, a bit of savviness and seeing out a game. So,
like, there were 7 or 8 up near 10 to go. And like, it was, I saw Westmeath's late goals, they got two goals. They're just long balls. They weren't like well worked. Just balls hit in and they got goals off. Like, you know, like bread and butter stuff. She was defending someone coming out, win the ball, win your free, settle down. He's killing
well, me. I suppose you know, like, the good thing for him is that they only have a week to go now, a week turnaround to Kilkenny, because they're straight into it. You know, there's no kind of time to feel sorry for themselves. But it would be an absolute massive turn off. This is a bad Wexford team.
They're struggling with the high ball there. In around the square, like if not even against Clare last year, and you saw it against Dublin, even the goal against Dublin, and you see the other night, then like you know, a few high balls let in. But I don't know, like it's weird because look, I know Darrow well, like you know, and like he's definitely, you know, and look, I know from people around Wexford, even talking to him, like they have as good a setup as Tipperary or anybody would have. So like they're getting probably detail, you know, and you know, Corcoran there, like he's savage coach. You know, you have Willie Cleary down there as well, savage coach, won a county final with Gorey, you know, so first ever county final, I think, with Gorey. So like I don't know, it's a strange one, like, but like you have to look at the age profile as well as some of the players, like Dee O'Keefe was a huge part of that team. And he's not really there anymore. Sean Murphy, these lads. So it's probably, I don't know, like it's, look, it's tough on Dara too, because as we said, like Liam Cahill, all these lads are putting in time and effort and they're driving down to Wexford. And geez, man, it's not happening. Like it's when you're over, you know yourselves, when you're over a team and things aren't going well, it's, geez, you'd be fucking trying to stay at home and not even talk to people. You know, it's a hard place to be, like, but. Jeez, Les, it's a strange one because, like, you're 16 points up, you lose. The day before you played Dublin, you hit 20-something wides and you lose by a couple of points as well. Like you know yourselves that the game is so fucking fickle. Like, bounce here or there and you get a couple of wins that you might not should have got. And things, you know, things take off. Do you know that sort of way? But... jeez, I don't know. It's going to be hard to see him turn it around against Kilkenny on Sunday, isn't it?
Like, Wexford there at the end, it's like them two late goals after seven up, whatever it was. Like if neither of them had been, they would have won maybe by 8 or 9 points, job done, onwards. No, that would have been it. Like, maybe let 10 points lead slip, but still, show resilience at the end to kind of see it out. Like, when it happens the other way, they would say the high ball into square. And from watching the games earlier on this year, it actually comes to mind. It was troubling, like, but. There's probably no other players in that full back line around him to get thrown in. It's just that's the kind of way it was, wasn't it, Sean?
Do you know what, Les? Doesn't it just show you, like, if you look at the Tip team now, look at all the players they're playing. Like, they've trained since November. A lot of them have a lot of league games in their legs, and they're in great nick. And you look at some of the teams, then, like, lads missing half the league, three quarters of the league. Like, you just can't spoof it anymore at inter-county level. You can't just come back all of a shot. Like, you remember Shane O'Donnell came back in, was it 2019? Do you know, and he wasn't hectic. Do you remember he was away for a while, or he was in America, like, and he wasn't hectic. It took him a few years to get back going. So you just can't spoof it. If you don't have...
Shortcuts.
No, you can't take... That's the word. You can't take shortcuts anymore.
But the likes of Wexford, you know, around 2010, 2011, awfully performed. If there was a round robin there with relegation, this might have happened a decade ago. I think it's only the change in structures is probably shining a light on how maybe off the pace they can be in certain years. Obviously, Davey came in there, got a good gallop out of them for a couple of years. They got their Leinster title, but, you know, they were really off the pace in the early part of the last decade as well.
But when they won...
Kelly dominates, probably hit a bit of that as well.
But when they won the Munster, when the Leinster final, sure, didn't they draw the big Carlo? And they drew against... Did they have three draws or two draws? Maybe three draws, was it?
Definitely, they drew a whole pile of games, didn't they?
Yeah, and then, you know, you hit the straps in one day then and you turn a team over in a final. Like, so, yeah, it is, you know, you'd still think, though, the likes of Rory O'Connor and these lads would be able to game manage the game.
Yeah, was Killian Doyle on for Westmeath as well? Who'd be probably
He was injured, isn't he?
Yeah, so that, I mean... makes it worse again,
Just,
you know, like for Westmead again, as I said, it's nearly in their interest to lose on Sunday. tantrum, because then you have potentially a Leinster Championship next year with Westmead, Antrim, and the winner of Carlow and Offaly. So, like, you know, this.
It could be gone from Europa League to Conference League, I think, at that stage, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I know what I'm saying. It gives Westmead a chance and thinking, geez, we could be Antrim and a team to come up and maybe Dublin and actually come third, like, you know, the way they're thinking there.
I should look at Park. Park drew against Tip. Tip are flying it. Bet Waterford, fair enough.
Yeah.
Lost by a pint to Clare, who are motoring well.
Should have drawn it, like, you know, that was, they shouldn't have lost that.
And could lose the weekend now and are gone. Yeah. And you look at Dublin, they bet Antrim, Westmead. They drew at Dublin, bet Westmead, bet Wexford, and they're in a, you know,
Wexford by a point or whatever, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it is flawed.
And they have a swing in the Leinster final against Galway on Sunday.
Do you know, like,
so, and technically Tipperary could be out as well. Like, if Limerick Cork draw and we lose by 400 points, like, we could have been gone as well. Like, anything back as well.
Kevin, you won't be surprised to hear that, like, Sean, I give Cork a chance on Sunday, because, you know, I have this sort of fetish about Cork hurling and that I'm always talking them up at some level, but actually give them a chance on Sunday, because I'm trying to weigh up, and I don't know what the boys think about this. Are Limerick kind of staggering around now like a punch drunk boxer, just waiting for someone to land a blow on him? And as the lad said there a minute ago, like Sean, I think, mentioned it, Cork have the forwards maybe to do that, you know, that they could. I know I take the point about them from 1-7 that, you know, that they're probably not at their best, but I think there might be a kick in Cork. And we laugh and joke about this, about the kind of Corkness of Cork. And they won't lack for confidence or swagger going in there on Sunday. But geez, lads, I'd give them a fair chance now. I really would, you know. And there's serious jeopardy here as well.
Limerick only scored 25 points on Sunday as well against Tip. You know, that against Cork, probably, if they only score 25 again, Cork have a right chance. If they get a couple of goals, like Kingston, for example, if he can bury a couple of goals there, like, which I think they will need to beat him, on paper, Cork have a chance. So then, look, Limerick, it'll be like they're out all of a sudden then. Championship will just explode, you know. Yeah. I think
they still only have lost the game, though. Let's, I mean, think about it, like, and they lost the game by a point.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, Sean. Yeah, that's
it. It's so tight now, like, and it just, they're probably, look, for me, two of their marquee players aren't playing well, Keane Lynch and Garrow Integrity. And I think any team who rely on those type of players, if they're not playing well, are going to struggle. And the other thing I think is, and look, your question, manager who's won what for All-Ireland, but like Kyle Hayes had one shot in two games. Like, if you look at the All-Ireland semi-final and All-Ireland final last year, he was their go-to man in the forwards, like, you know, the two in semi-final and final. So I don't know, just he doesn't seem to be playing any of those young lads like Colin Coughlin, and they're not getting thrown in, are they?
O'Neill was good though.
Oh, and he was excellent, yeah.
You know, and they are getting thrown in, but
it's just, yeah.
Yeah, it's back to now. Graham Mulcahy again, he did have an impact.
If Cork can score goals, like Limerick last day again, like they're trying to score these, we're saying they're scoring 30 points now, but they're not even reaching that anymore, you know. Mm-hmm. So if Cork can get a few goals on them and the forwards are there, but the problem is, if Cork, the backs, maybe they do a tip down, just hold them out, break the ball, turn over there. Like, I don't know if they can, maybe.
And look, the other side of it, Cork put in a savage effort as well the weekend. Like,
yeah,
so they show everyone out clear. Right, boys, before we round up, football, Party Tipperary football at a low ebb. Probably a win against Waterford by my maths probably won't even be enough to kind of get you a preliminary quarter final in the Talton Cup.
Yeah,
like, Stephen, you were in there anyway, so
yeah,
for my sins,
for your sins, Stephen, yeah.
Yeah, I got up there nice and early. The match, you know, one of the lads had the car. I just couldn't not watch the football, and I don't want to disrespect the players because I know they give their lives playing football, but it was brutal stuff. Sideways passing, slow build up play. A lot of not mobile fellas, I'd call them, like, you know, the zippy pace wasn't there. And then, and even in the first half, we were, we it's fair that I was part of it. But Tipperary created two man full forward line, and a lot of, most of the other players were out, good bit out past the 45. And, you know, it's, if it was a kicking game, you'd say, get a ball, get it in early. You know, our lads know it's coming. They're out in front. No, we just walked it all the way up to the 45. Then we're able to get back in numbers. And when they attacked at pace. And like, they must have had about five or six balls hand passed over the bar. That's how close and how quick and close they were able to get the air goal.
Look down on the world beaters either.
No, it was poor. We made him look like a Division One side. You know, it's hard. Look, I understand the boys, that those players are giving their lives to that, for that jersey. You know, they're training just as hard as anyone else. And same with the management team, like we touched on already. But it was really poor. We're at a really low ebb.
Yeah, we see it now. You know, definitely green shoots. And shout out to the Tip Miners, who kind of had a good campaign there, came up short in their semi-final, like after a few wins and a narrow defeat in the Darcy Cup. But it looks like, you know, the next 3 or 4 years into football is going to be all about rebuilding and stuff. And probably, look, this management team, would you say, is probably coming to a natural end now, you know, kind of got the big one, which will always be remembered for. But is there any point in kind of them going on where it looks like they're maybe out of ideas?
Yeah, it probably looks like a new management's needed. You know, freshen up. The young lads coming through now, you know, the people taking them on, you know, maybe they bring him through as well, you know, because they know him, they understand him better. And a new footballing philosophy as well would be needed. I think, go at him. You know, if let's say, if we're in the bottom rung of football counties, so be it. But go at it. Have a go. You know, if we're going to be bet, go out and get bet by having a go. You know, at least throw a few punches. We're not, you know, it's negative football. In fairness to the management, they did lose a lot of good players over the year, the last couple of years. So maybe both cycles are done, and a new rebuild is needed. And you know, it's just poor. Now, anytime a player puts on a Tip jersey, no matter what the sport is, you want to see him to win, and you want to see him winning. And you know, even though you have to understand where we are in terms of the hierarchy of football, it's still frustrating to watch them play the way they play and get bet the way they got bet.
Well, like, just to put into how bad they were, like, you know, and like you said, I think maybe sometimes Tip footballers can get a free ride, you know, as you said, they train as hard as the hurlers and all that. But Waterford have a score difference here, having played the same two teams, Meath and Down, at minus 20. Tip are minus 29, which is by far the worst score difference in the Tailteann Cup. Yeah. Way worse than the likes of Leitrim, Wicklow and London, minus 15, who prop up their group. So we are totally off the pace in a tiered competition. We're not going out and losing to Kerry or whatever in this one. We're totally off the pace.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, for me, that comes back down to the style of play. You know, if you're sideways moving, like, if you're going to have a slow build-up and then trying to execute it up top, the speed up top has to be unreal. Like, the movement of the ball, the movement of the players. I saw nothing of that on show. And I'm no football expert. I don't know. But I just compared it to what we were doing compared it to what Down were doing. The movement of Down up top, the movement, the speed of their players, the ball handling, it was chalk and cheese to what our lads is. And look, understandably, probably our lads are playing with a lack of confidence. But it really showed the weekend. And I'm trying not to be too harsh on them, but it was brutal viewing. And it would not encourage me to go early the next day if there was a double header on.
Corky Queeve, double header. Cork and Kerry at 3 and Tip and Waterford at 1 o'clock, I think it is, something like that.
Kevin, before we move off to Ireland, just to say one thing. I'm just curious on what everybody would think. Like, if, like, okay, so we win on Sunday, we get to a Munster final. If results don't go against us, we're third and we qualify. If the unthinkable happens and we don't qualify, how would the year be seen, do you think? You know, just like we've had three really good championship games. I'm just like, we know ourselves, every championship defeat in Tipperary is like a death in the family, right? So I'd be interested to see, you know, if we didn't qualify, would people look back on this year and go, yeah, success, we're building, we're going well? Or is it really just all about next Sunday and to hell with what's happened the last 3 weeks, if you know what I mean?
If at the stage we're at now, right now, so we're talking on the Tuesday after the Limerick game, if we don't qualify for the Munster final, or if we're knocked out of the Munster Championship, the Hurling Championship after Waterford Sunday, everything that we did the last few weeks is out the window, and I think it's been an unmitigated disaster of a day if we don't qualify next week. That's like, we built, the rebuilding was in the league and the early stages of the championship. We're in a position now to qualify not only for the All-Ireland series, but the actual Munster final. To even mention the unthinkable, let alone for it to happen, it'd be a very sad day for Tip Hurling, I think, if that was to happen next week.
I'd say if Tip lose the water for next Sunday, I'd say you're going down to Stokes and Cork on Monday morning, putting the house up for sale.
I'd be the opposite, Les. Like, think of it now, right? Imagine standing this time last year and saying, Rhys Shelley, Connolly, O'Mara, Stakelam, Tynan, O'Connor, Keogh, Morris, and Bo are going to be driving your team. You know, that sort of way. Like, that's serious. I think that's serious progress from the players, number one, and the management. And, like, Sunday's interesting because even just take turnovers, right? Waterford scored 30 points from turnovers in three games. We've played three games and we've scored 350. So, like, there's nearly 30 points in the difference what we're doing. So it just shows you the different type of game we're playing. And do you know when you say a game takes life of its own? Tip used to play Kilkenny and it used to just turn into chaos, ping pong. But if Tip can avoid kind of getting into that, sucked into that Waterford, what Waterford are doing, like, I don't think there'll be any problem. But I'd be more excited now if there are a few injuries, that can we even get another couple of lads starts and see how they go, even get John McGrath back into that team and have a good 70 minutes. But I think the year is a win already, to be honest. I don't know what you think. I think it's a total win. I think we've got new management in. Like, even watching Dan McCormack sitting down beside Anthony Daly the other day, I was looking at Dan going, Jesus, he's in the nick of his life. Like, you know, I just think, and there's no, apart from maybe Shamey and Bonner, like, and Bonner is a huge loss, to be honest, looking at what he was doing the other day in the first half. But, like, there's not going to be a huge fallout over the next couple of years of players either.
I think, though, Sean, it would be a colossal missed opportunity. Again, the All-Ireland champions from the last 3 years, a bit off, out of sorts, not to be making a big impact on this championship. Yeah. And look, I don't think it will happen. I think we'll beat Waterford well.
Yeah,
I just hope we get on top early and turn it into kind of challenge match fair, to be perfectly honest, with no intensity, knock the ball. I can really see it kind of Tip just taking over here on Sunday. I think Waterford being so brittle, you get on top of them early on, they won't want to know about it. Anyway, boys, predictions, just to wrap things up. First, we'll go with the Tip game. For me, I'll go for Tip by 15 points. Sean Smith.
Tip by 8.
Stephen.
I want to say, give the big middle finger to Colm now for making me worried with this fucking ridiculous worst case scenario thing. But no, I'm going to go Tip with 10 points.
Colm.
Tip by 1 will do me, Kevin. Like, I actually find myself more agreeing with Sean Flynn on this than anyone else. I was talking about this going up in the car on Sunday. Like, I mean, my feeling on Sunday was, if we got to 55 minutes on Sunday and we were close to Limerick and say we lost the game, I'd say, Jesus, we've come on a bit again. Like, do you know what I mean? And we got to 55 minutes. And I think we were in front. But, like, I know what's going to happen, Kevin and Tip, and Stephen has said it, like, if we lose on Sunday, everything that, despite the very measured response from Sean Flynn there, everything that will have happened the previous 3 weeks will be fucked out the window and, you know, we'll be useless. They're this, they're that, they're the other thing. Like, they're definitely a team worth following and worth supporting at the moment. And hopefully a big crowd goes up again on Sunday and gets behind them. But I'll take any kind of a win now. And if you'd offered me this situation at the start of the year, you know, playing Waterford.
Oh, it's beyond our wildest dreams, yeah, to be honest. With Waterford being out as well, it's perfect.
I'll take that. And I'm going to go for Cork to beat Limerick as well and Limerick to be knocked out.
Sean, last up for the tip game.
Yeah, I think we win by 2 or 3 points, I think. I don't know. Just Waterford are just, they're hard to play against. And in terms of, like, it's just not going to be like last Sunday. And maybe Parkin and Clare have walked around them. So I just hope we can do it as well. But it's just, I don't know if we'll be able to get our flow like we did straight away against Waterford on Sunday, like we did against Limerick.
That's a clean sweep for tip anyway, just about, Sean, on Limerick Cork.
I think Limerick. Yeah, they're just, the longer they hang around the championship, lads, I think I'd get worried.
Colm, you're on Cork for the surprise. I'll join you.
I'll stick to my guns on Cork, Kevin. I'm not happy that you're also joining me on this because I
rarely get these things wrong now, in fairness. Stephen,
I'm going to go with Limerick. I think those small facets of Limerick's game and play Sunday that had us in real trouble, but we were able to physically then get back into their face. I don't think Cork can do it physically. They might be able to run Limerick all over the place, which they think they did give them trouble before, but I think Limerick's physicality and skill set is better, and I think they will win it the weekend.
No, all I think this Munster Championship needs now is just a seminal nationwide moment of gasping when Cork bang in a late goal or something to beat Limerick, knock them out, Twitter goes mad and all the rest of it. Sean, last up on this one.
Limerick, but won't be easy. I think it'll take a few late scores from maybe, but Cork give it all. I think Limerick by 2 points there.
Yeah.
What's down to the Europa League.
Sorry?
What's the story with the Tip Club Championship if we get through on...
There's dates out there, but I'd say they're subject to change, aren't they? Yeah. I think it's all planned on Tip going no further in the semi-final, but...
Yeah, divisions are the second week of July, is it?
Or the first.
Yeah,
the divisions were all to be wrapped up by about the 10th of July or whatever.
That's were
they? Was it?
Won't be that early, no, because the lower grade ones, we got word, I find it somewhere and I'll send it into the group, that Ballingarry and Skeenerinky, the quarter final, the start of July, and I presume then the following weekend will be the semi-finals, following weeks. I'd say there'll be only a week's break between the South final and the county championship.
Yeah, and you might need to throw in a midweek game as well there, just to get things, so you could have, for like, you know, the South championships, a lot of them just have 2 rounds, which is all right, but you know, the 3 rounds ones, you might have to play 3 games in 8 days or whatever like that, say up the north or whatever like that.
But
the
one thing is, they'll have to be played anyway because they fall into like the rules of running the county championship, like.
They're
going to be played no matter what. Like, they're going
to be honest, if teams are anyway savvy this year, they'll have copped on that it's a good safety net there, like, potentially. So. Especially with the close
games. They'll be played anyway, but whether they're played in, whether it will be played over 2 weekends or 4 weeks, we won't know. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah. Sean, Europa League time. Dublin, Galway.
Galway, buddy.
Galway. Kilkenny, Wexford, any point to?
No, Kilkenny, and they'll just be
the big one.
Or enough. Wexford. Like, Wexford have to win, like, so, like, will they be fighting them? Like, I don't know. It's a stranger, but...
Yeah, but it's not like Kilkenny or Man City or anything like that, but it's like a relegation fodder going out needing to beat Man City just because they need to win. Doesn't mean they will. Like, they're in that position for a reason.
Yeah, I think it's probably easier for Wexford to go out and stop Kilkenny than for them to go out and try and hurl a team that they think they're better than. So... they surely give it a rattle. Like, they'll surely, they might even like one last hurrah and start O'Keefe and all them boys and just try and get something out of it and get a result. But comes down to that last 10 minutes again, like, and they haven't done it in the last 10 minutes, the last two games. Like,
yeah.
It was probably the last 10, 15 minutes for Dublin kind of got overtaken by the Kenny as well. Like, they were kind of there, thereabouts and on. They just popped off a few points and that was it. Like, Dublin just fell away. But like, the Wexford can keep into them there. They'll have a chance down the home straight. Like,
and you wouldn't see any of the shocks in any of the other games, Stephen or Colm? Or...
I'm going to give a nod to Wexford. They're playing against, they'll be up, they'll be mad to play against Kenny. Kenny will probably use the panel. And it's do or die for Wexford. And I think they'll turn up on the day. I'll give them the nod.
Fair enough.
Find it hard to care, Kevin, to be honest with you. I'll go Kilkenny because I rarely back against them. Galway will be Dublin. I watched Dublin and Kilkenny on Saturday evening. Dublin are a very frustrating team to look at. Like, they've a couple of great hurlers. Your man O'Donnell, the fullback, was really good. Donald Burke, who we spoke about in the pod before, excellent player. But then they've a couple of really middling hurlers after that. You know, so I just find them a very frustrating team to look at. I'll go Galway there. And the other one is Westmeath and Antrim. Jesus. I don't know. Antrim
for I go for Antrim there. I think they deserve it. You know, they seem to be the steadier team. And I think they need to win that one. And look, at the end of the day, Westmeath only scored 3 points against Wexford in the first half. So they haven't magically become a brilliant team overnight. Big shout out, as before we go, to the Sarsfields initiative there, the Jersey for Life campaign. Great to see all for the Dylan Quirk Foundation. Some great funds raised for that. Great initiative, all the jerseys, a lot of people contributing. So really great to see, and fair play to Liam Kyle and John Kiley as well on Sunday, and all the players highlighting it before the game. We won't pity Austin during the game as well with the specialised jerseys, but you know, it just shows GA is all about community still, and there is that willingness to kind of help in any way we can. So
yeah, there were some big stuff. big jerseys went last night. Declan Ryan's jersey went for over 1,200, you know, and so there were some massive fundraising done there, like, you know, and it's all people bidding. They saw the bids, like, they're going up by 20 there every couple of hours, and I bid on a few of their previous week and didn't win them without bidding. But, like, you know, it's a great initiative and fair play to all the lads involved. You know, Connor Staken led that. And, you know, it just shows the drive from GA community as a whole. Like, jerseys come from Donegal and America, and there's Australian as rules jerseys coming in, and young lads giving in their own college jerseys. Like, you know, so it shows, like, kind of togetherness and that. But it's a pity that it was touched on a Sunday game that this couldn't wear it on the jerseys the other day during the game. Like, you know, it would have been great for photos of the game. No, a great game. And if you're looking back at it, that was on it. And one of the first biggest games of the stadium since Dylan's passed, it would have been great. But hopefully GAA come around to some sense and laws and come in down the line that might be able to kind of help it there, put on the sleeves of the jersey even, or some kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. And hopefully Tipperary County Board will be at the forefront of lobbying for that. Like, you know, listening to the clubs maybe and getting on board with that. Also, big shout out to the Manaw, the Camogie. Great win in Munster Champions. They are great scenes, I suppose, after and all that. So look, fantastic to see. If we have more time, maybe we'll just engage a bit more with them, I think, just in depth on another week. But like, yeah, Jesus, that was a great win there to dominate that final. Big fair play to them. Right, lads, that's it. All done till next Sunday. So thanks a million, all.
Thanks, Kev. Thanks, lads.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.